Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Security is very strict there now. Okay. And I go in there my first day, and there are just people just piling in, man. This place is huge. And this guy comes in, he puts his phone in the little tray, hands it through security, and goes through the metal detector. So I took my phone out, put it in the tray, and I wasn't prepared for any of this. And I walked through and set the metal detector off. Then I've got my wallet that has a metal clip on it, and I've got my can of dip. And my belt buckle. It took me 4 times to get through security, DJ.
Meanwhile,
I got a line of like 10 people piling up behind me of people that are getting through there.
And they looking at you mad.
Yeah. And by the last time I went through, this girl goes, "It's probably those calf muscles setting it off."
That's funny. That's funny. Welcome to the Triple Threat Podcast. Today is a special day for none other than we are alive and we are feeling good. And we got a chance to listen to the Triple Threat Podcast. I am DJ Shockley. Got my man Scotty D going to be joining me here in a second. But man, first off, thank you guys for listening. I can't thank you enough for the people who do listen, who subscribe, who tell people about it. We appreciate it. I get texts all the time about people say who listen to the show. So we definitely appreciate it. All love, much respect to everybody who do, man. We hope everybody's doing good out there. We hope everybody's living a safe and blessed life, man. Scotty D, man, first off, what's good, brother? How you doing?
How's it going, DJ, man? I'm having a great week so far.
Yeah, man. Scotty D, my man, got a new gig going on and everything. You know what I'm saying? He trying to lead the Triple Threat Podcast franchise already. Got a new gig, paying him more money. Man, all good, man. Glad to hear you good, brother. I got my second vaccine shot today, so I am fully vaccinated right now.
All right.
Arms a little sore, but other than that, no symptoms as yet. So hopefully it stays that way. I've heard people who have no symptoms, heard people who have few symptoms. So hopefully nothing else comes from my second vaccine today. So I'm excited, man. I'm ready to hit the club. What's up?
I'm getting mine next week. Next week, this time, I'll have my second one too. So.
I bet. All right, man, we got a lot going on in the world. Obviously, a lot of things to talk about. As we mentioned, the draft is approaching very soon. All the talk and the banter will be over with very soon because the draft will be here, man. We'll talk about my man Mel Kiper came out with Mock Draft 4.0. Next time it comes out, it'll be his real deal one. It'll be the one that's for real, and we'll see what happens with all these teams. And, of course, the top 5 picks will probably be the most exciting part of this draft to start with for sure. But before we get started about anything in the NFL, I want to say congratulations to Hideki Matsuyama, who won the Masters at minus 10. This dude right here, oh my goodness, unbelievable. Him to go out and win it for his entire country. Japan is happy. They're saying Hideki will probably be a billionaire here soon with all the endorsements he will get. Because he wanted for his freaking country. We both had some very curious odds looking into this Masters. You was looking forward to Xander Schauffele winning. I forgot who I had. I don't remember either.
Yeah, maybe I don't remember for sure.
But I know you don't want to talk about yours because some of you guys didn't cut, right? I mean,
two out of three didn't make the cut.
What happened to Rory? Rory's like plus 7 or 8 or something crazy.
No, I didn't have him. I did have DJ and Cantley, and both of them didn't make the cut. So I only had one guy make the cut. All three of your guys made the cut. So I tip my cap to you. Nice job.
Thank you, man. I can pick winners, man. This kind of stuff I do, man. John Rahm was in it for a minute. I ain't gonna lie. Your pick though of Xander, who you always stick with Xander. I was nervous for a minute because we text back and forth, and I was like, oh, man, Sanders making a run. And
I thought he was going to do it, man.
Respond, before you could even respond, he had the massive blow up on 16 that just kind of took him out of it. But, man, he fought hard, man. He had a chance there at the end, got into within a couple of Hideki, but Hideki was able to finish it off, and he is your new Masters winner. How about Hideki being spotted in Atlanta airport and just having the green jacket laid over a chair and him riding commercial. You think that's the last time Hideki rides commercial ever in his life?
I can't believe that he had to ride commercial. I can't believe some Japanese company, whether it was ASICS or whatever, didn't send a plane Sunday night to come get him.
No doubt. I'd have been first one to be like, Hideki, we'll come get you. Because guess what? He's going to be remembered that. He's going to say, I want to be with those people, and they're going to make him a lot of money. So whoever those people are, they missed out on a lot of bread with Hideki Matsuyama. Let that man ride commercial. He just won them freaking Masters.
Yep.
Man, tough. I wish I could hit the golf ball as good as those guys do, as consistently as those dudes do. So congrats to Hideki again on winning the Masters in his first green jacket. Mm-hmm. And how about your boy DJ? He doesn't make the cut, and he has to stick around for two more days to give Hideki the jacket. I mean,
yeah, I don't remember who, but I've seen that happen before, and that's got to be a rough couple days. I if it were me, and it wouldn't surprise me if they don't bolt to Atlanta for a couple of days and then come back Sunday afternoon. That wouldn't surprise me one bit, because who wants to sit around? Yeah, I'm the defending champ. I got to sit around and wait on this to, you know, when's this going to be over? But
The bad part about it was he lost it on like the last two or three holes. He was like going to make the cut and then had a bogey or something on 17 or something like that. And then had another bogey on 18. But by that time he was trying to get birdie and it was too late. So that's a tough way to end it, man. Right down the last two freaking holes, man.
Yeah.
All right, man. Other news going around. I am a big UFC fan. Scott, y'all know you're a big UFC fan. I like UFC, but whenever you talk about this guy, he is going to bring the people out. Conor McGregor is coming back. He's going to be fighting in UFC 264 on July 10th in Vegas. And he's going to be fighting Dustin Poirier, who this will be the trilogy fight. They both have won one. The second fight happened back in the first fight was in 14. Mm-hmm. And then the other fight just happened back in January, where Poirier defeated him in the second round, TKO. So the other interesting news about this, Scotty D, that I saw was it's going to be 100% capacity for this fight that's going to happen on July 10th. What do you think about that?
Do you got to show that you've gotten vaccinated or what? I mean, what does that mean? And where is it?
They didn't say. He just said that it's in Vegas. And obviously it's going to be July 10th. And they say they are getting 100% capacity, which is 20,000 fans.
Wow. We'll see. I mean, it's a little shocking. I mean, obviously, when was the last time they haven't fought in Vegas, have they? They've been fighting in other places, haven't they?
I think they've been in like the places where it's like a mini bubble or something like that for the fighters and all that kind of stuff. They call it Fight Island and all that kind of stuff.
Right. That's a really quick turnaround, you know, and if I'm being honest, I think that McGregor took him a little lightly last time.
Yeah.
Because Poirier, once he got him, it was over, man.
Yeah.
And I'm
look bad. He was a meme.
I would think McGregor will be ready to go. So it's gonna be interesting. I think this might be the best one yet of the three fights.
And the thing is, I think McGregor knows if he don't come out and put on a good show and win, that might be the end of all his hoopla. It might be a end to the aura that is Conor McGregor. So he has to go out and, I think, win this fight and fight good. Because if not, people are just going to be like, well, he had his 15 minutes. You know, he did it with Floyd. He did it, you know, for a little bit in the UFC. And now he's kind of flamed out. So,
yeah,
hopefully, you know, he makes a big payday and he's able to come out on the right end. So we'll see. But I guarantee you it's going to be must-watch TV. They're gonna pub it up. Connor's gonna go crazy and all that kind of stuff, do his thing. So I'm excited. Yeah. I'll watch that.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to rent that one.
All right, let's jump into the National Football League. As obviously we mentioned, a lot of stuff going on in the draft, a lot of stuff about to go down. But this week, on Wednesday, Justin Fields had his second pro day. Trey Lance will also have a second pro day as well. That will happen on Monday. But Fields will had his second pro day on Wednesday, and the teams that are there I thought was interesting. San Fran, of course, was there. The Falcons, the Panthers, and the Pats. All teams that have been linked to either Justin Fields or Trey Lance all were there to see him. And when we I said earlier, Mel Kiper came out with his 4.0 draft. And in this 4.0 draft, he has the Dolphins moving up to 4. And he says the Falcons are moving back to 6. And then the New England Patriots will move up to 10 to draft Justin Fields. And the Falcons will take Trey Lance at number 6. And here's my question. The things that he did at his pro day, from what I hear, are things or drills that the 49ers do in practice, the things that their QB coach and Kyle Shanahan wants to see him do. But my question here is this a smokescreen, Scotty D? Is this something that they're trying to kind of put up a facade for people to just maybe think they could possibly take a Justin Fields or Trey Lance at 3, or are they locked in at 3? Considering the fact that they moved all the way up and gave away a bunch of draft capital for that number 3 spot, are they locked in on their guy, or are they really considering either Justin Fields or Trey Lance? Because everybody said it's Mac Jones.
I don't know what would – if you're sitting at 3rd, I don't know what difference it makes. Why would you need a – why would you need a smokescreen? Maybe they're just doing their due diligence, you know? Yeah. Because it's clear – it's clear who's going 1, and it seems clear by the day who's going 2. So if you're 3rd, what – why do you need to – why do you need to be – you know, I don't know that you would need to do that.
Here's my question. Do you think they absolutely, without of a doubt, know who they're taking at the number 3 spot?
No, maybe not. Maybe they're still open. They might have, you know, they might have these guys ranked, but, you know, after
being watching. But here's my question. Today, why would you give up so much for an uncertainty?
Yeah,
why would you move to number 3 – and you're not certain about the guy that you want? Like, you move to 3 knowing I love this guy. There's nothing that Justin Fields or Trey Lance will do to change my mind. I remember they didn't go to the first pro day for Justin Fields because they're at Mac Jones's pro day. So is that a clear sign of Mac Jones is our guy? Or are they saying, smokescreen, we still like this other guy?
I don't think it hurts to send somebody to – I don't think they have to be doing a smokescreen. It costs $500 to send somebody from San Francisco to Columbus, you know, on a flight. Why not just send somebody? I don't think it's a big leap to send somebody to a pro day, especially when you know you're going to take a quarterback. Maybe you were thinking Mac Jones, but, hey, we're going to go kick the tires on Justin Fields too. Just because they need to, you can't just not look at people, you know. I'm a lot more concerned about what's going on at 4, and I just, and you probably know more about this than I do, but do we have enough film and enough measurables on Trey Lance to see him going before Justin Fields? I don't buy that.
It's an interesting topic because the two guys who I think people feel as though will really be great in the National Football League are the two guys that people are still on the fence about. And that's because of Trey Lance only having that 1 year.
Yeah.
But people thinking Fields and Lance's upside is through the freaking roof. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I contemplate is, are teams in a mindset of, do I take this guy for the foreseeable future, knowing that maybe I only have 3 or 4 years, and if I take the wrong guy, that sets me back and I don't have my job. So do you rush to take a quarterback that has the hype or has what you think could be the next Patrick Mahomes qualities? And you look back at those teams that did not take Patrick Mahomes, i.e. like the Chicago Bears.
Right.
And now you look at them and say, what if we pull the trigger on them? Are there teams right now, like the Falcons, who's sitting there at 4, who look at it like, man, maybe we don't need a quarterback, but I don't know how good next year's draft is? Because if you go 8-8, you go 9-7 next year, you're going to be picking what, between 18 and 23? Like, does that set you up? Because Matt's going to be another year in the books. I mean, or do you think we take a guy like a Trey Lance who – everybody thinks probably could use a year to sit behind a guy like Matt Ryan and groom him? Or do you go get what you just talked about, a player that is the most – that's best available there, like a Pitts, like a Surtain, some guy like that, at that number four spot?
If it's me, I'd rather trade back. I love, you know, I love Pitts, but I don't, I want to build from the in, from the interior. And they've never done that with this franchise in the 20 plus years that I've been a fan since I've lived here. They've never built from the middle, Okay. And I think that's why we've always come up short. I've watched the Bucks do it. I've watched the Panthers do it. Panthers, way before Cam Newton, they had a, I think we discussed this last week. Way before Cam Newton, they had a reputation for being a tough team on both lines of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. That's what I want them to do. And and this year, or maybe even next year, be damned. I want long term viability. You know, I want to be. I think I'd rather trade back, accrue draft picks. And again, when you pile on the salary cap issue that the Falcons have, I just don't see how they have a choice. You gotta sign a bunch of rookies to be able to afford to fill a team.
Yeah. So you say no QB. No QB at four.
No. And you're the one that talked me out of this.
Yeah,
so
I'm with you.
Now you're messing with my head.
No. I'm just asking questions because I'm with you. I'm still on the same boat of not drafting a QB there. Like, I still believe you can get a Kyle Trask, you can get a Davis Mills, somebody in that second round. Because you have to draft a quarterback. And I think you have still some other really good quarterbacks that are out there right now. I mean, even a guy like Kellen Mond, he is different than Matt Ryan, but I think he will fit really well into what Arthur Smith may do. You have QB running there. But here's the thing. If these coaches are known for evaluating and then developing, why not draft a guy that you have a good evaluation on and then you develop him into a player that you like? Like,
so who what so is you saying, Justin Fields?
No, I'm saying any quarterback. Because a lot of it is about, this quarterback is this kind of way, or he did these kind of things in college. But if you can draft a particular skill set, why not do that? Why not develop that player in your system if you think they fit? Just because they don't look like the guy that's previously been there doesn't mean they can't get the job done. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have a problem. Yeah, I don't have a problem with – I mean, if the option is that they're going to take a quarterback, I want Justin Fields. I don't – now, that's part of me is that I'm not a football
– So you like Fields over Lance then?
I'm not a scout, so I can't look at Trey Lance and what I've seen from Trey Lance and say that that's better than Justin Fields. You could do that. A coach can do that. A GM can do that. I can't do that. But I'm just a regular
Scotty,
guy.
Here's my part about it is, regardless if you're a scout or anybody who's watched it, when you watch the game, you can see different skill sets. You can see what a guy can do. You can see this guy can throw an out route. This guy can get through 1-2 progression. This guy can physically do these things.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. You don't have to be a scout to pick apart this guy's 3- and 5-step drop. You can see exactly how this guy plays and say, hey, I wouldn't mind having this guy on my team. You know what I mean? That's all I'm saying.
So where do you play? How do you rank those two quarterbacks?
For me, I take Fields over Lance. I think what the guy did coming into his first year at Ohio State, you can't talk bad about that. I think the guy crushed it. I think he balled out. Trey Lance, yes, is a phenomenal athlete. I think he would have been just as good in any other conference. I think he would have excelled as well. But I've seen Justin Fields do it. I've seen him go against the number one quarterback in the country in Trevor Lawrence and outplay him. I've seen him on the big stage in those big games. I've seen him in those magical moments thrive. So for me, I like Fields. Lance may turn out to be a really, really great player and go on to do some great things. Now, not to say he won't, but if I had to choose between one or two, I'm going with Fields, bro.
And I think it's a nice marketing opportunity too. The fact that Justin Fields grew up 20 miles from the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, you know, or 15 miles, whatever it is, I don't know, but he's a local kid. I mean, you know how we like our local quarterbacks to stay here, right?
No doubt. It'd be a great story, and it would absolutely bring people back to the stands and bring people back to the bin. So, we'll see where that happens. Obviously, Terry Fontenot and Arthur Smith have a really intriguing pick right there. And I'm sure everybody will be on pins and needles, as they will for the San Fran pick and as they will be for the Falcons pick. And then what happens for South and Fulham. So I think this draft is intriguing, man. There are a lot of really good players, and the draft sets up really nice for a lot of surprises. And who knows what's going to happen, man. So we'll see here in about a week and a half what happens and how it turns out. So I'm excited to watch that. Other news around the National Football League. Four NFL teams won't have voluntary workouts this offseason, citing rising COVID-19 positive rates. Also cite success in virtual offseason. So there are four teams: the Broncos, the Seahawks, the Bucks, and the Lions. I think the Patriots may be the 15 that's coming into that. But Broncos, Seahawks, Bucks, and Lions for sure say they will not participate in offseason workouts. And the only thing that I think those are wrench in it for this is a lot of guys have contracts where they get offseason bonuses. And one guy I saw that gets an offseason bonus, you won't believe this, Von Miller, $500,000 if he's at 90% of the offseason workouts.
And he's got to do is get on 90% of the Zoom calls and he gets $500,000.
No. So they're not going to have the offseason. So he's not going to get that because they said they're not going to show up. Now, what's going on? All the teams, they're posting a report next Monday, which is the 19th.
Okay.
But the Broncos, the Seahawks, the Bucks, and Lions are saying we are not having our offseason workouts where you go in person. So if you don't go in person, you don't get those bonuses.
That sounds like a big, big litigious nightmare when the NFLPA, the NFLPA has got to fight that, right?
Yeah, they are. And NFLP says that they provided the players with thorough research and info regarding their safety as they enter voluntary workouts this offseason. And one player who plays for the Seattle Seahawks and wide receiver Tyler Lockett said Tuesday, it was easy, quote unquote, to learn what coaches were teaching in a virtual setting last offseason. And he quotes and says that is the reason why we feel as though we don't need those in-person off-season voluntary workouts. Because I'm sure just like everybody else, we thought these guys didn't have any OTAs, they didn't have any minicamp, and they just showed up for training camp, that the season was going to be a mess. Turned out to be okay. Now players are like, maybe there's something to that. Maybe we don't need those off-season workouts.
Okay. Well, I got two thoughts on that. One is, I can buy into the fact that they so is this charge led by the players or by the organization?
These are led by the players.
Oh,
the players are citing this. Yeah.
Then the Players Association has nothing to do then. They wouldn't have a legal ground to stand on, I don't think. I thought you meant that the organization said that. So this is what I'll say.
Oh.
I don't doubt that they believe that it was productive, these virtual
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.